Before we get started, ESPN, in partnership with Peyton Manning's Omaha production, presents Moxie Bets. Make bets with Moxie with betting expert Katie Mox and her merry band of gambling insiders as they preview lines, spreads, parlays, and props with personality and the kind of advice they would give themselves. That's Moxie Bets. Listen wherever you get your podcast. It is. We are in beautiful Las Vegas. It is the Hall of Fame induction for the UFC. It is out here beautiful, ahead of 276 UFC. We about to get on camera, DC. Get your boy Khabib dancing. Man. Y'all in the Hall of Fame. Let's go.
No, we in the Hall of Fame. Let's go. All you got to do is move your body a little bit.
Just feel it a little bit.
Let the music move you.
This guy have to move, brother.
Man.
This is only Hall of Famer sitting here.
You know what? I'm very excited to be sitting here because I heard that Khabib only sits with Hall of Famers.
Bro, he's out of his mind. This guy, he came to my house the other day and made people not sit at the table because of tea. But it's okay. You know, we're all honored to be sitting here.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's two Hall of Famers and a guy that spent a lot of money watching y'all build your Hall of Fame careers. So, Khabib, what is it like tonight? What was that feeling going into the UFC Hall of Fame with, I guess, your good friend, Daniel Cormier?
To be honest, it was like very fun day. Same day, it was very busy day, very emotional day, you know, and same time is like very big honor, you know, to be inducted UFC Hall of Fame with my brother DC, you know, like this is history, this is legacy, you know.
DC, it's an awesome feeling. Obviously, I was there when you got the announcement in Phoenix, and you mentioned getting an opportunity to go in with your brother, with your teammate, someone you spent so much time with. What was that feeling like for you when you finally got to walk on that stage and heard that Daniel Cormier is a 2022 inductee into the Hall of Fame?
It was so gratifying, man. I cried tears talking about my parents because the lessons I learned from these people, man, they're going to be with me for the rest of my life. But to be able to share this honor with Khabib is, it you know, honestly, we make fun of each other a lot about the way you talk about Troy Polamalu and the way I talk about Khabib. It's like the impact that this young man has made on our gym and that he still makes today is second to none. So for us to go out there and represent not only ourselves and our families, but also our gym in the American Kickboxing Academy in San Jose means the most. To see, I mean, all of our coaches were there. Javier Mendez was in there crying. Bob, Dwayne Zinkin, all my coaches. It was just a great night, man. I'm so excited.
You both had amazing UFC careers, MMA careers. But the one thing that touched me tonight was listening to both of you guys have an opportunity to pay tribute to your parents.
Yeah.
When you got that opportunity, DC, obviously you cry. Khabib said how emotional it was for him. What does this moment mean for your entire families?
Oh, go ahead.
You know, it's like parents, it was like biggest part of my life. The biggest part of my success, you know, that this is how I grew up, where I grew up, very traditional religion family, and I'm very happy for this because I didn't know, like, if without my faith, without my religion, understanding how I'm gonna handle this, what happened like 2 years ago when my father passed away, you know, it's like, but like religion teach me like how you have to handle this, but who teach me religion? Who gave me this way? It was my parents. And, you know, it's like, I don't think I like ever I can be thankful for this reason to my parents. But all my life, I never gonna forget what they did for me, you know.
It's the same for me. You know, just being able to pay tribute to the work that they put in order to get me to where I am today. It was emotional. I looked down at my sister, my nieces. They're all crying because the loss of our mother is still fresh in our family. She was just that important. And I felt like it was great to be able to do that for her and my dad. Now, when I got going and we got into the speeches, we got into the talks, Khabib starts to talk and I'm sitting out there watching and he's reading his notes, which they didn't give him enough notes. But you never talked about the McGregor fight in 2018. I was a bit surprised that you didn't even talk that story. You talked about
maybe he didn't even want that name in his speech, DC.
No, but we talked about this before, but it's like maybe like, brother, why you don't talk about this? Just a little bit.
All world was watching this fight. People talk about something like when they want to promote this. Like this fight become like bigger than our sport, bigger than MMA, bigger than
UFC. But this is also a very defining moment. You said it today on the red carpet.
Like all the time talk about this, I don't like to be honest, but this is like one of the best moment ever happened in my professional career, you know? 2018, October 6th.
When I love how you put
when
the
I finished this
how
guy
you know
here,
all these dates?
I remember
you
this.
You remember every day?
I remember everything, almost. And you know, it's like, you know, like people never talk about one thing. People never talk about when I jump, with me jump all this sport, you know, to another level.
Yeah, you think you know, so? You I think that in that like, moment, every, it elevated.
No, I talk about like this fight and everything what happened after fight. Of course, like Dana, Hunter, everybody was like, oh, a little bit upset. Like they acted.
But
like,
were they really upset?
But, no, I don't.
They weren't.
So. Don't so.
It changed the way people looked.
Only one guy was
it.
Upset.
Ooh.
Me, when I go to the black room, I didn't have my belt. I'm like, oh, please, Hunter, where's my belt? Bring belt. He said, brother, please. Be relaxed. I'm going to bring you. No, bring me belt.
Bro, do you remember?
Because I choked this guy. This guy tapped. Where's my belt? What is this?
DC, what
this
did
is,
you do? What
this,
did you
this
do?
This is not fair. This is like freedom speech country. Okay, give me my belt. I
Bro,
beat this guy.
I paid to watch Habib fight. $10,000. $2,500 a ticket.
Only talk.
Hey.
This guy
hey.
Only $15,000.
No, I don't owe you $15,000.
You
He's
have
a liar,
to.
Bro.
Did he tap you out?
Bro, no. We
show,
bet. We
show
bet.
Contract. Show contract.
Doesn't
brother,
matter
you
if
have you contract.
Said,
we sign
bet.
Contract.
Ryan, we bet. One time we had this guy bet.
He's a guy.
He bet on a Brazilian guy against it. Well, he doesn't bet.
Okay.
I bet him, right? Because he won't bet. So I bet him, and then he goes, brother, if you pay me, okay. So he said, I will not take $15,000, $1,500. If his English doesn't work good, that's on him. He said $1,500. Then he sends me a contract for $14,900 in Instagram. Pay right now to Habib Nurmagomedov on my credit, which he doesn't even know what credit is. He doesn't even know what credit is. He's going to be severely
affected.
Listen.
You want I post a video? How we make, like, shake
yeah,
hands.
But you can't like, cut the video versus, right after you.
UFC
you,
champion versus UFC champion. We shake hands.
See.
We shake hands. I'm going to post this video. Okay.
Habib, this is what we know about you. One, so already
he's
we've learned that he cheated you out of $15,000.
$14,900 to the records if it's to be.
He cheats on the show constantly. And we know you're a guy with morals and with principles. So how do you feel finally hearing DC admit to the world that he cheated in New York and put his hands on the did you already?
Habib, look at this. You see? Habib.
Towel's bending.
Yeah,
see?
So look. The towel went down, Habib, too much. It went to 203 pounds.
Look, Camacho here.
Camacho
like,
in the back. What is this?
No, listen.
Camacho's over there. The lady on the floor. Like, what happened?
You know, like, Sheriff doesn't care about any problems. It's been like this. If you guys don't catch him, okay. This is like Charles Oliveira have to watch this a lot.
You did so, yes. Habib. That was
after
the
that they changed towel, right?
They
after
put like a black curtain,
yes,
like a black thing, like
even.
Hey, but this is the thing, right? You don't see.
You
hey.
Don't see.
That's not my problem.
Oh, they see only legs.
Hey, what made you tell the world, DC?
Because
this
listen,
has been
man,
the world's
the burden,
best
the
kept secret.
Hey, Ryan, the burden of that lie. I don't lie. So having to carry a lie like that on my heart was too much. I'm an innocent guy, Habib. You know me not to lie. I don't lie. So it was hard for me. I could not sleep at night.
Sometimes you lie, brother. You lie about contract, $50,000. You lie. I have contract. I have video. If you go court, brother, I'm going to sue you. Believe me.
You're going to
go jail.
What?
Yes. If we go.
Brother, listen.
It's okay. I know you have kids, family, everything. I forgive you.
Hey, listen, next time I'll have you English breakfast tea when you come to my house.
Finally. You know, this guy give me like crazy tea. You know how I drink this? I close my eyes like crazy. Like it was like, it was not even hot.
It was hot.
No.
The reason it wasn't hot was because you kept bothering me.
This is off the rails.
Can you please come? Can you please hurry? Where's the tea?
Brother, I called you 3 hours ago. Hey, I'm coming.
Why didn't you respond to the message when I said what kind of tea do you want? Anyway, guys, hey, that's Habib Nurmagomedov, 2022 UFC Hall of Famer Habib.
Thank you, brother.
Congratulations, brother.
2022 Hall of Fame.
Congratulations, my brother.
Thank you so much. This guy is who's sitting here.
I'm just hanging. I'm just hanging out.
I don't even know his name.
This guy, bang, tackle you.
Like, I want to watch. Who are you, like?
My name is Ryan.
No. Like, what you?
All right, guys. This Saturday. No, it's not baseball.
Golf?
It's football.
Golf like this?
This guy don't know nothing, man.
He does know. He's just pulling my chain.
He is. He spent way too much time in the gym with me.
Way too much time.
All I do is talk trash. Later, Habib. Thank you. This is the best, Habib. Hey, guys, UFC 276, as they hug, Israel Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier. We got Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway 3. Ryan, Sean Strickland versus Alex Pereira. And is Pedro Munhoz going to be the guy that can knock off Sean O'Malley? I mean, bro, this is a massive fight card. And it seems like, as long as there ain't no football, you had the big ones.
Hey, listen, I like coming to the big ones. And DC, here's the other thing. Next week, I guess what? It's going to be 6 days from the event will mark our 1 year anniversary when the show started.
That's even better.
But DC, right? Yep. Obviously, we're here tonight because you got inducted into the Hall of Fame, to the UFC Hall of Fame. You should be in the MMA Hall of Fame, Combat Sports Hall of Fame, whatever it is that you've been a part of, you've done it at the highest level.
Yes.
What we've seen from some of these fight cards recently is fighting at the highest level. And this is International Fight Week. This is a week where we see the best come out. What are you looking most forward to on this card?
You know, honestly, I think it's Strickland and Pereira. Like, Pereira, I was talking to Sean Strickland today, and he said something that I was like, wow, he can't possibly believe this. When he said, my pride makes me want to fight him where he's good at. Bro, we have seen what Pereira does
yeah.
to people that stand and strike with him. I mean, he has a knockout over Israel Adesanya.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is he doing? But this could all be smoke and mirrors. But this is the fight I'm looking forward to.
Well, whether it's smoke and mirrors or not, DC, I like a guy like Sean Strickland because he looks at the fight game the same way the Pittsburgh Steelers looked at defense.
Yeah.
No matter who we were going against,
we felt
like, okay, if you're physical, we want to meet you where you're physical.
Yeah.
If the team likes to pass the ball, we're going to blitz you and get you out of that. And maybe Sean Strickland just has that mindset that, you know what, I'm going to meet Pereira where he is.
Yeah.
Think about, though, when we watched Alex in the last fight, have to come through in the third round.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
When it was brutal, when it was dirty boxing, he was getting taken down, and he showed up in the third round. I want to see if Sean Strickland is going to be able to take him to that place on a card that will feature Israel Adesanya in the main event.
It's a number one contenders fight, right?
Yeah.
It's about as clear as a number one contenders fight as you get, considering that Izzy is calling for both of these guys. Now, where Sean Strickland has to be careful is in the in-between, because Pereira's a fantastic counter-striker. He's a guy that, in the middle of your punches, he can find the spots to knock you out.
Yeah.
The problem is, Sean Strickland's constantly throwing punches. He never stops. It's his pace and pressure that overwhelms you. It's a big spot for these two. But ultimately, and don't care what Max Holloway says, because Max says they're the main event, people are here Saturday to watch Israel Adesanya.
Yeah.
And when you look at Izzy, RC, do you see a guy that transcends the sport of MMA? Do you see that guy that's at that level of star that he's just recognizable, not just in the mixed martial arts world, but to the sports world in general?
I think Israel Adesanya has figured out how to be captivating in a way that not most fighters can.
Yeah.
Right? He's a guy, he's charismatic. He's talented in other ways other than fighting.
Yeah.
And you love listening to him talk. But now we're seeing him understand the game too, right? Understand calling people out, setting myself up for the next fight, setting myself up for the next thing, even being ultimately focused on the task at hand, which is defending his belt. But when you look at the landscape of his division, it has to be take care of business here and fight one of these guys who wins, whether it's Pereira or Strickland, and set that up. And Israel Adesanya is getting an opportunity to get into superstardom to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I don't just pay attention to what he does here or to what he does in training. You're watching him on YouTube. You watch Israel Adesanya watch fights more attentively than you watch some of the fights. That's where he's gotten to, and I think he's learned to captivate the fight world in a way that you did while still kind of being the villain, which is very difficult.
You know, he does that. And I very rarely, when I talk to these guys, have that feeling of, wow, this dude, like, he's big. Mm. Right? Because when you've done the things that we've done, it's hard.
Yep.
But there are certain people that when they carry this aura about themselves, when they come around you, you're like, wow, this dude's a little bit different. And Israel Adesanya is that type of guy. But in the Killer Gorilla, Jared Cannonier, he's big, strong, he's physical, and he's coming from heavyweight.
Yes.
I feel like Izzy said that he struggled with Blachowicz because of his size. He was heavy once he got him down. Jared's a big guy that has fought as heavy as 245 pounds.
Yeah.
Does he have that type of base to smash Adesanya down if he can get him to the ground? Look, there are fights that you can make much easier if you approach them the right way. Is Jared Cannonier willing, though, to do that? Because for as great as Adesanya is, RC, and I hate bringing this up because I'm sad that I brought my friend to a fight in Arizona and you had to sit through with Carla Esparza and Rose. I got to be honest. But the reality is Carla fought the fight that she had to fight to win. Because if she fought her too much, Rose would have picked her apart. Rose would have maybe knocked her out. That's what you have to do against Izzy. Because when you fight him close, and that's never been more apparent than in Robert Whittaker, too.
Second fight.
Because Robert was more patient. He didn't leave many counter opportunities. You find yourself going into the fifth round, and it's 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, wow, I'm actually in the fight.
But, DC, is that good? Is that good for the sport?
See, but that's the thing, though. Right? If you're trying to become champion for the first time, do you care about the sport?
Right.
You want that gold belt. That has to be first above everything else. So while I get the fight may be boring, I truly do believe to beat Israel Adesanya, the fight has to look a little bit boring because the guys that rush him, Paulo Costa, yep. Guys like Robert Whittaker in fight one, mm-hmm. He will destroy you. But in fight two, fifth round, 2-2, Yoel Romero, close match, 2-2. Long as
you look at both of those fights, I feel like we didn't get to see the best of either fighter. And but you're absolutely right, DC. The name of the game is winning.
Win.
Whatever you have to do to get that gold strap.
I should get to the dude
fight
like that.
Exactly. The name of the game is winning. But Izzy has also shown that he has the ability to be patient as well.
Oh, yeah, he does.
To not reach, to not feel like I got to go out and defend the belt. That if you're not going to approach me, if I don't have opportunities for counter strikes, then I won't put myself in a bad position or in danger to be touched or to be taken down. And so it's going to be very interesting to see if Jared can take this fight into deep waters where he has an opportunity to win and then use his size, use his ability to grapple and get Israel Adesanya out of there. I don't want to see Carla Rose Tudo.
No.
I in no way want that.
But listen, though, even Jan Błachowicz, right? Those first few rounds, it was leg kick Jan, leg kick Izzy, leg kick Jan, right hand miss, right hand land. Very, very few strikes landed. And in the fourth and fifth, Jan takes him down. So it's like, you got to fight him a certain type of way. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, in the co-main event, RC, Max Holloway, Alexander Volkanovski 3. These guys have fought 2 times in very competitive fights.
Yep.
Many people believe that Max won fight 2 to the point that FanDuel refunded anybody that bet Max. Bro, he sent me the article today.
I didn't know that.
Dude, it's the craziest thing. Max Holloway sent me an article that says FanDuel has now, look, it said, Sportsbook gives bad bet refunds to anyone who bet on Max Holloway winning at UFC 251. So FanDuel,
that's how close the fight was.
They thought that Max won. They thought that it was a bad decision. But even in that, RC, are you surprised that fight one went to Volk, very close. Fight two, people thought Max won. Alexander Volkanovski is a 2-1 favorite going into this fight. Why are the odds looking like that, you know, whenever the fights have been that close?
Because you know what happens? When you go back and you watch both of them, Alexander Volkanovski never seemed like he was out of control, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, even though, especially early on in the second fight, it looked like Max was getting off on him and Max was kind of picking him apart. Alexander Volkanovski, or Volk, just, he stayed calm, right? He stayed chill, and he stuck to his game plan. And my lead scout, my lead UFC scout is my son Jordan Clark.
Yeah.
Right? So I call him, and he loves the ESPN Plus package. He's like, Dad, I'm about to go back and watch the first fight.
Oh, that's yours?
Yeah.
Oh, he using yours? Yeah. He got the VIP?
Yeah, he got the VIP.
He got the VIP.
You know, and so he goes back, and he watches the fight, and he's like, yeah, Dad, you know, we talking about the first fight. Because in the first fight, it was all stand-up. Nobody landed a takedown, and he was able to kind of pick him apart. Then the second fight, he figured him out a little bit late. He asked me this question, which I'm going to ask you. He said, Dad, if they fight 10 times, do you think Max ever wins?
Wow. He thought, but because he saw, what did he see in Volk? That's crazy, right? Because I thought, again, I think Max can win. What I do think, though, is that Volkanovski seems to possess a style that's hard for him to win over time.
Yes.
Right? It's super close, and every round's going to be close, but it seems hard for Max to be able to separate himself enough from Volkanovski to get those.
Well, the other piece of it, too, DC, is Max overwhelms opponents.
People, yeah,
right? Like, when you watch Max, when he's at his best, when you get to see him against the Calvin Caters, or you get to see him against the Yair Rodriguez, it's nonstop pressure, right? He continues to go, and eventually his opponents can wilt.
Yep.
Alexander Volkanovski doesn't wilt. He doesn't wilt. He continues to strike. He continues to fight. But to me, what I've seen, he continues to strategize.
Yep.
A lot of times people get caught up with Max, and it's like, okay, let's go. Right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stand up and we're going to strike. And he's okay to get a little, to give a lot.
Yep,
and Alexander Volkanovski, I feel like his style, he's figured out a way where he can counter or where he can be first and sometimes throw Max off of his rhythm, which to me is something that you don't see a lot with him. And I think that's what makes these fights so exciting.
It makes Volkanovski extra special. We talked about this, and I brought this up to him the other day. I interviewed him, and I said, how are you getting better? I go, Ryan and I watch you fight, and we wonder, first off, how does he never get tired?
Yep.
How does he improve every time? Because that zombie fight was an absolute masterpiece.
It was.
But it also showed that it has to be him and Max.
Yes.
Because when they fight other people, they kind of dominate them. Mm-hmm. So Max can win.
Yep.
Right? And I do believe he believes that it's going to look easy this time. And many believe he's the greatest featherweight of all time. I know you don't because you love Jose Aldo. But if Max is to win, he's got to fight his fight and be able to sustain that over 25 minutes because Volkanovski will not change. Now, this fight card is stacked top to bottom. We can go all the way to the first prelim, all the way to the end. But there's also a guy on the pay-per-view that is now making pay-per-view his home, even as a guy that's not a champion, isn't close to a championship. Sugar Sean O'Malley.
Your friend.
He's a star.
Y'all friends now.
Yeah,
so you taking pictures of stuff?
Yeah, I did. I talked to him the other day. I walked up to him. I was like, hey, man, I hope you don't think that I'm mad at you. Like, I don't get mad at people, right? But it's like, he goes, nah, we're good. We're good. You know, da da da. We had a little conversation. All good.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
This is so my whole family is now just huge UFC fans. And so my daughter, we're in the airport, and I'm talking about you, and I'm so excited that you're going into the Hall of Fame. And my daughter goes, DC is so adorable.
What is that? That's kind of
I was like, what do you mean?
What does that mean?
She's like, Dad, he just looks so nice. And the next adjective was, and so cuddly.
I said, you look like Santa Claus.
I was like, maybe that's why all these young dudes keep trying, my boy.
Yeah. Because I'm nice, right? I do nice. Hey, look, Ryan, when you've done the things we've done and you got what we got, it's hard to be mad. Where you come from, where I come from, I mean, I'm over here wearing a Hall of Fame jacket. Hey, dog, it's hard to be mad.
Why are you walking around upset?
I'm telling you, man, I'm living life, dog. I'm good. I got money. I got my family. We healthy. Like, I'm good. But now, we get to Sean O'Malley, and he got Pedro Munhoz, right? Pedro Munhoz has a single digit in front of his name in terms of rankings. How does Sean O'Malley approach Pedro Munhoz? Because we have seen Pedro hurt now.
Yep.
Is Sean going to be the guy to put him out?
Well, I think the one thing I liked about Sean when he came on our show was you asked him about the clock.
Yep.
And he was like, well, look at the clock. He's like, because I understand this might be a 15-minute fight. And I love the fact that he's setting himself up in his mind that if these are three hard rounds, I'm going to fight every round, but I'm going to fight every round contained. And I go back to his last fight, and I remember watching it and saying, looking at him and saying, okay, he's picking his shots, right? He has his guy hurt, but he's still picking his shot. He's not overthrowing. And to me, that showed me a maturity in the way that he fought that I don't think people give him because of the way he looks.
Yep, it's his hair. But I'm telling you, and you know who said that to me? And this is the thing, like, we don't get to hang out much anymore, me and Habib, because of our lives, you know, and he's in Russia. Because we were behind at the Hall of Fame today, we had hours. So we were talking about Sean O'Malley. I said, what do you think of him? He goes, he's really good. He goes, I think people don't take him as serious because of the hair. He goes, but he's a tremendous striker.
Yes.
And he is a really good jiu-jitsu guy. What we haven't seen tested is the wrestling in between. Mm-hmm. Can Pedro Munhoz challenge him in those ways? But look, we all have a expiration date.
Yep.
And you could have the most iron chin in the world. And then eventually, one day, the chin stops being as resilient. It stops being as durable. Pedro has now started to get hurt. Mm-hmm. He never used to get hurt before. If there's a guy at bantamweight that is going to put his lights out, it's this kid. Because Sean O'Malley possesses tremendous power in his hands, and he will knock you out. But if he does, Ryan, if he does that again, he will light this place on fire, and he will be off to the moon in terms of where he's going to go in his career.
Yeah, think about this, right? This is a guy who has already acquired fame.
Yep, yep.
In this sport, which to me is a harder thing to do because we've seen champions that don't become household names.
Yep.
He's already, to me, in this sport, a household name. And so now when you start collecting the wins against the single-digit guys, you start to get into championship contention,
yep,
which changes the dynamic of the way people see
of everything.
And so if he's able to knock Munhoz out, whether early or you get it late in the fight and he shows he can have that power late to knock out a true contender, I think it changes the way the fans view him. But I also think it changes the way the organization views
him. Yep, yep, yep.
Right, and now you get to you're going to want to see him against the grapplers. You're going to want to see, can he continue to ascend against some of the tougher fighters in his weight class? But my thought on him is very much like, is he? Sugar Sean's good for the UFC.
He really is.
You know,
he
like
really is. People pay attention.
People pay attention to him, but it's also like it's hard to be Daniel Cormier, right? It's hard to be. I came up wrestling. I'm an Olympian. I went through Strikeforce. Now I'm in UFC. So like it's hard to do that. He's found a different way to be at the forefront of this sport. And if he wins on Saturday, it does a totally different thing for him.
He'll be in the top 10.
I think we start to see him in co-mains and main events on fight nights, and eventually main events.
Yeah, yeah. He'll start main eventing. Yep. I mean, the guy is going to be in the top 10 in his weight class. I think he's great for the sport. I think there's a ton of potential for him. Now, as Sean O'Malley starts to ascend to the top, we have two guys that have been in the game for a while, Donald Cerrone and Jim Miller.
Yep.
They're rematching this weekend. You know, Donald has long said that he's coming to the end. Jim Miller is not ready to call it a career. He's actually still fighting very well. But when you look at Cowboy, he isn't making the weight. He's fighting at 170. What do you expect to see after having three fights scheduled in such a short period of time and also up a weight class, not having to deal with the weight? Because you got to think, right? When we're in Arizona and they tell him, or we're in Austin.
Austin was second.
He's not fighting. You go have a couple. I mean, this guy go has a couple beers, right?
He's a cowboy.
He's a cowboy. How quickly can he get back into that mindset of, I have to fight a guy in Jim Miller who I need to know is super tough, and it may be my last time making that walk?
And so, you know, I don't get to say this is what it's like to make that walk to the octagon. Yeah. But we all know when it's coming to an end.
Yep.
As an athlete, you can feel it. And I felt like, I know I remember playing Philadelphia the second to last game of my career, and I had 22 tackles.
Whoa.
And I already knew. I'd already told Yonk, my wife, in November. I was like, I'm done. I was like, this is it.
You could tell, bro.
I was like, this is my last year. But I remember thinking I still had something left, and I wanted every ounce of it to be out.
Left on
and
the
I
field.
Think that's what we're going to get to see from Cowboy. Whether it's quick and whether he has it or not, we still have to wait to see that. But I think he understands this is close to end. And you not only want to prove – I wanted to prove to myself one of two things. That if I had something left, I could go out and use it.
Yep.
And also, I wanted to know that I didn't have no more.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
and I think
yeah,
that's what
sure.
we're going to get as he walks to the octagon this time on Saturday.
Because if it goes great, he'll know, hey, there's something – But if there's that something, right, that something shows itself, you still got to be okay with walking away. Because ultimately, when you don't have any more,
yep.
you go out there and you get destroyed, right? Yep. So it's like, I think we'll see a great fight. I think we'll see two guys that want to win. I do think that the Lozon fight was more tailor-made to
yes,
what Cowboy needs now. Because I think Jim Miller's still insanely relevant in the mm-hmm. weight class still. But it is what it is. He gets a guy that's littered across the record books just like him, a guy that is second in finishes. Cowboy's got the most bonuses. Jim Miller's in the top three. They've both been around for a long time, and I think this fight is going to show us exactly where Cowboy Cerrone is and where Jim Miller is. So I can't wait to get to Saturday. Ryan, thank you for coming, bro.
Brother, I would not have missed it for the world, man. We were in Costa Rica. Even the wife was okay with making sure we got here, man, tonight. Congratulations, bro. Your speech was amazing. I've never been a part of a UFC Hall of Fame induction. And to have one of my close friends going in, one of the best co-hosts a guy could ever ask for, it was beautiful to be here, man.
Ryan, thank you for coming, bro. And honestly, if you've been to the Hall of Fame tonight, that is what I hope the UFC Hall of Fame stays. Because before, they did it in the middle of the fight week, the International Fan Expo. Make it something that stands alone,
yep.
that truly matters, that truly means something to the people that you love and the people that have supported you on this journey. RC, every single week I enjoy doing this show. I know so many people are excited about seeing it tonight after the Hall of Fame. I'm glad we could give that to them. And for Habib for joining us.
Nah, man, this was an awesome night. I got to meet your people. I talked to your brother. It was awesome.
That's crazy. They probably all ran up on
you. Hey, I told them you were great. They said not so much. But, hey, to have this show on this night, it was beautiful, man. Congratulations again, my friend. All love. And we missed it up.
We missed. We actually
it's all
missed.
Good.
We got to do this shit again. Yeah. We actually missed.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.